My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28, and then Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. The stories of the Bible never get old, do they? No matter how many times you've heard them preached or you read them in your daily reading, something new is revealed. Some jewel, some brilliant light, as you lift it to the light, you see a fire burning that you didn't see before. Something's ignited in your heart. You capture a thought in the midst of that story that you hadn't even heard preached, but yet God speaks it to you, gives you direction, gives you strength to face the coming storm or to overcome whatever it is you might be fighting at the moment. So I've just come to speak to somebody here today and tell really all of us, and it would be good that all of us could understand this and receive it, because God wants you to have a faith that won't quit. Because it don't make any difference who you are. There's times you can get discouraged where you feel like quitting. You're not going to quit, but you feel like quitting. You wished you could quit. And you know you can't even quit if you wanted to quit, because your back's against the wall. But there is a faith, church. I want to preach it into you today. I said there is a faith that no matter what you are faced with, that faith won't quit. It'll pick you up when you're on your last friend. It'll move you into action. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, this is the Canaanitish woman that came to him to ask him to heal her daughter. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. First Pentecostal Church, have faith in God. Oh, sinner who needs salvation today, have faith in God. If you're sick and you need healing, have faith in God. If it seems like you are being assailed by the enemy and attacked on every side, and the storm rages on, and you're in the midst of the darkness and don't know how you're going to get out, for you see no light, have faith. Somebody say, I've got a faith today that just won't quit. And I want that faith to be in Jesus Christ, not in the First Pentecostal Church or the Pentecostal movement or your mama or your friends. And I hope you have faith in all of them as well. But yet, I want you to have faith in Jesus Christ. God bless you. You may be seated. The story of the faith of this Canaanitish woman is a story that has a lot of meaning. But no matter which way you turn it, no matter how you speak about it, you cannot exhaust the subject, nor can you tell it all in a single setting. It just seems that more and more you learn from God's word, there's power and there's victory. But notice that this woman had spoken her last word to Jesus. She gave it her best shot. She had spoken as good as you can speak to the Lord. And she says, yes, Lord, I know I'm a dog, but yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And she spoke her last word and gave it her best shot. And then Jesus turns around after she speaks her last word and gives her his best word. It just seems like, I don't know why God always waits till I'm exhausted and I've said everything I can say and I've done everything I can do and there is nothing else to do. But just hang on, and then all of a sudden he comes in the fullness of his power. And just in a moment when it looks like it's all said and done, he shows up right on time and gives me exactly what I need. For my extremity is God's opportunity. You know, faith is the only thing I know that can keep you going when it seems like you are discouraged, and even discouraged by voices around you that are supposed to be encouraging. And have you ever gone to a person and you expected encouragement, but you got discouragement? And instead of it feeling like you were able to take another step, you took about three steps backwards. But that faith that comes from hearing the Word of God. There's only one way you can get faith, church, according to the Scripture, is that you've got to hear the Word of God preached. So I'm fulfilling my part of what God expects me to do, is to preach his word into your spirit so that you can have faith to get up from where you're at. How many of you are thankful for the truth that has been preached in this pulpit? How many of you are thankful for the fact that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is only one God? He created the heavens and the earth. And that God is made manifest in Jesus Christ. And he is the only visible manifestation you will ever see of God. He and he alone is God of the universe. That's a faith that'll keep you going. That's a faith that'll look the devil in the eye and say, Satan, you have no power here. Because I serve the one true God. Other things may send us a certain distance along the road, but only faith will bring us to the desired goal. That which made this mother seek Jesus, first of all, was her love for her daughter. And you can respect that, church. She loved her daughter. She didn't want to see her tormented by the devil. And love drove her. Love longed to see this devil cast out of her daughter. Love longed to see this. But natural love alone is not going to accomplish the miracle. It might get you along the road. It might get you down the journey just a little bit and get you to Jesus. Love's a good thing. And I know that you love the people around you that are in your life, that are an encouragement to you, and you want to see them blessed and helped. And love will drive you to get up in the morning and get your kids ready and bring them to Sunday school and come to church. Yes, I thank you for that overwhelming. Just my greatest point right there. Thank you. That was just really made me feel right at home. I am in Pensacola, thank the Lord. This is not camp meeting. This is Pensacola for sure. But I'll say it again. It'll get you up in the morning because you love those kids and you want them exposed to truth and you want Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, and fire preached into their life. And you want them to know that Acts 2:38 is the only way to be saved. That they must repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, how do we know they're going to get the Holy Ghost? They will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them the utterance. We know that love will drive you a certain amount down the road. Her sincerity and earnestness urged her along the way. She meant it with all her heart. She wanted her daughter to be healed. She cried out for mercy. It was a pitiful voice. And she was crying at the disciples, and they ignored her because she was of a certain type. And they could not associate with that type without it hurting their reputation. You ever been around somebody like that? They didn't really want to be around you because it would taint their personality or their image wouldn't hold up under your presence being in their life at that moment. So they kind of shut. No, don't, you don't need to bother Jesus. Get on up out of here, woman. And then they got tired of listening to her cry. because she was crying after them. She was weeping and she was wailing and she was nagging. Hallelujah. And on it goes. And they even decided, I'll tell you what, we're going to take this to Jesus ourselves. And it wasn't out of pity. It wasn't because they were hungry for her to get her miracle. They weren't worshiping, praise the Lord, there's a miracle coming, walking down the dusty road. No, we want her to leave us alone. They came to Jesus and say, send this woman away because we don't need her in our life, and she is messing up our schedule, and my iPhone's all messed up, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Would you please send her away? And even Jesus picked up the theme and tried to send her away, but it just wouldn't work. Now, obviously, she wasn't a proud woman, because if she'd have been proud when Jesus called her a dog, that would have pretty much finished her off right there. You know, if you come to church and you expect the preacher to pray for you and people to worship with you and to try to help you get your miracle, and all of a sudden they say, you're a dog, we can't help dogs here, you got to go someplace else. And that's exactly what happened. You think I'm kidding you. You read the story. That's exactly what happened. But she wasn't a proud woman. She said she kept on pressing the issue, and she, with that earnestness and that love for her child. And she said, yes, Lord, I know I'm a dog. I understand who I am. But I also know who you are. And when you know who you are, and still in spite of that, you go ahead and say, I'm going to praise him anyhow. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm messed up. I know I need my miracle. I know I can't make it without him. Woo! I can't do this church without Jesus. But I know who you are, and I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. You created the heavens and the earth. You started all of this. But I'm sorry. Natural love and earnestness and humility, they're great attributes. I want you to have all of them. I want you to have every one of them. I want it to get you as far down the road as they will get you. I really do. And I hope that I say something, do something that would help you even be in love more and be more earnest and more humble before the Lord. But that's not going to get your miracle. That's not going to press through the crowd. That's not going to touch the hem of his garment. You've got to have faith. And we have the word of God for it. He said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. He didn't say great is thy love to thy child. He didn't say, great is thy earnestness, or great is thy humility. He said, great is thy faith. Faith is mightier than all the other forces available, because it's faith that supports the other graces. It's all the other graces which plead with Christ, but they owe their power to faith. Faith supplies the strength. Faith holds on to Jesus in the dark. And some of you feel like you've got small faith. You don't feel like you have great faith. But I'm telling you, if you've got faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, you've got enough faith to not quit when it looks like religion will not help you. The people of God can't help you. And it even seems that God turns a deaf ear to you. But I say, church, hold on to Jesus in the dark. Can I tell somebody? I know that your life is shaking right now, but I've come to tell you, hold on to Jesus. I want to say it again. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on. What if your Jesus is silent? Or what if your Jesus becomes insulting? What if he refuses to help you? What if he rebukes you for anything you have done? But if you've got faith that simply will not let go, and just say, Jesus, even if you don't heal me, I'm never going to let you go. Even if I don't feel nothing for the rest of my life, I'm still going to be a one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost preacher. If I don't see another miracle, if I don't see one more person get healed, I'm still going to preach that by his stripes ye were healed. Not because I'm a great prophet, but because I know who he is. I'm nothing, but I know who he is. He is the healer. He is the savior. He is the deliverer. He is my everything. Faith has some awesome effects. It enlivens, enlightens, and strengthens. It sheds light on many things and lets us see that even if Jesus has a frown on his face, there's still love in his heart. Faith allows us to perceive that there is mercy in Jesus for those who will seek him with all of their heart. Faith is what will revive the soul when it faints. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed, and I still believe. And I still believe in revival. Amen. I still believe. I haven't seen it like I want to see it, but I still believe in it. I still believe that there's a revival for Pensacola. You can sit there and doubt it if you want to. And I may die before I see it, but I'm still going to be holding on to it. Faith that strengthens. Faith that says, I believe there's going to be a revival of miracles. The world doesn't need another program, church. The world needs a true apostolic book of Acts, day of Pentecost, Holy Ghost church. That's the kind of church where we can speak to cancer and say in the name of Jesus, and I come against every cancer. Kevin, for your brother. Brother Phelps, for your son. I believe God can touch their physical body. Jan, I believe God can heal you right now, and that cancer never come back. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I speak. Somebody ought to take authority with me. Somebody ought to say, I have faith. I don't always feel good when I have faith, Brother Bryant. I don't always see the miracle. But this is what I understand in Isaiah 33. For the Lord is our judge. He's our lawgiver. He's the king. He'll save us. Thy tacklings are loosed. I feel like I'm losing it, praise God. They could not well strengthen their mast. How many of you have been in a storm and you couldn't get strong if your name was strong? And you're lifting weights and you lift more weights. And the more weights you lift, the weaker you get. They could not spread the sail. I mean, you can't even get direction. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. When you've reached the end and you're not strong enough and it's not you doing it and you're barely surviving, that's when he said, there's going to be a great spoil and I'm going to divide it. And then he makes this statement, and the lame take the prey. So all you that are just, you can't even walk. You're just hobbling. You're in good company in the book. Oh, I've got it, man. I'm going to claim my victory. Woo, hallelujah. I've got faith. You probably won't get much. But when you come and say, I know I'm nothing but a dog, but this dog fixing to eat some crumbs that fell from the master's table. I just wish some lame people would get up. I just wish some hurting people would worship up. I wish some bruised people say, I've been bruised, I've been messed up. Here's how the lame take the prey. The next verse tells you. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. And the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Everything's driven by what you say. And so if you want to claim whatever it is that's wrong in your life that can't be fixed by God, then claim that. But I will not claim it. You say, the world's messed up. Yes, the world's messed up, but the church is still built on a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The world's getting more hostile. They've always been hostile toward the church and killed the prophets and killed the saints of the Lord. That hasn't stopped the church. And it's not going to stop the church in this hour. I refuse to look around myself and just say that I am sick. I'm going to say I am forgiven. See, y'all didn't catch that. I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I'm not going to say there's not any problems. Amen. Some of my problems have grandkids. There's so many problems. And there's people that have problems that I can't work out. I don't even know what to tell them other than we got to hold on to Jesus. We're losing it. I can tell you that right now. We can't even strengthen this mass. This storm's about to get you. But I promise you one thing. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down holding on to his hymn. I may get sunk, but I'm going to go down holding on. I may go into heaven limping, but when I cross over there, I'm going to be delivered by the power of his grace. It was just like one Greek in the days of Xerxes, and you have to understand those Greeks were brutal. And Xerxes and all of these, this bunch, This Greek, he grabbed a hold of the boat. He was going to get to safety in the midst of whatever it was they were doing. And he put his right hand on the boat and seized the boat while they were rowing. And they chopped off his right hand. So he moved his left hand and put his left hand on the boat. And they chopped off his left hand. And then he didn't have either hand. So he bit the boat with his teeth. And they had to chop his head off to get rid of him. Well, that's the way I'm going to be. I'm going to put my left hand on it and hold on. And if it gets chopped off, I'm going to put my right hand. And then if I can't do that, I'm going to sink my teeth into the devil and say, I'm not giving up. And if he knocks my teeth out, I'm going to gum him to death. But I'm holding on to Jesus. I'm holding on to the one that made this. This church isn't perfect, and nobody here is perfect, but I serve one. I know who he is. I may not know who everybody else is, but I know who he is. Faith takes hold of Jesus and says, I won't let go until you bless me. Faith does that best without help. We try to assist our faith. We try to help God with his promises. We try to make things happen, and we try to build bridges when we can't. We try to find boats when we can't. But faith needs to have such a quality about it that it will hold on no matter what the circumstance, because you know in whom you have believed. My groaning, my moaning, my doubting, my trembling may not have any avail, but my faith in God. My faith in God. I believe. I believe. I believe. Doubt and fear will never bring you to the light. I said doubt and fear will never bring you to the light. The only way to victory lies through the door of faith. Faith will get you an answer from God. It may not be the answer you want, but that will get you an answer from God. When this woman at first asked for mercy, she received no reply. But when Jesus did speak to her, he gave her a rough answer, a difficult answer. But before it was over, he said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now, I know this is one of the hardest concepts for any of us to have to deal with. But we all have to deal with it. I've had to deal with it, and I know you will as well. That Jesus sometimes delays in order to teach us and increase our faith. In Luke 18 and 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. And he said, how much more is God like this unjust judge? Because he would not for a while. And there's that delay, that doctrine of divine delay. It just frustrates the fire out of all of us. Turn to your neighbor and just go on in a minute and say, I'm so frustrated with divine delay. Y'all like that too much. How many of you know that God has held off for a while on you? How many of you ever prayed and didn't feel anything? How many of you backed up and said, where is God? I looked to my right and I couldn't see. I looked to my left, he wasn't there either. I looked behind me and he ain't there either, praise God. And I look before me, and he ain't there either. What am I going to do? He's not behind me. He's not on either side. There's only one thing left. He knows the way I take. I may not know where I'm at, but he knows where I'm at. And if he knows where I'm at, I'm going to have a faith that's just not going to quit. Church, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit on this one God message. I'm not going to quit on this holiness message. I'm not going to quit on miracles and healings. I'm not going to quit on preaching truth. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it from the housetop. I'm going to preach it from the balcony. I'll preach it in the choir. Why? Because I believe it'll get you to heaven. When nothing else will work, it will get you to heaven. People are not allowed to put any kind of instrument out on the marketplace until they have tested it and that it proves to have worked. And so God tests your faith to prove that it works. Jesus will delay in order to increase the blessing itself, to make it bigger and stronger and make you stronger so you can hold on to it when you do get it. And you'll appreciate it more. I don't know that we appreciate our blessings. I don't know that we value how good God has been to us. We only look at what God delayed or didn't do at this moment, but you need to look at how good God's been to you, and you need to start valuing the blessings he has given you. Jesus is always going to deal with us in a manner of sometimes delaying his word. Even though his face is hid from us, he still blesses us. How often he has held us up through weary times when we sought his face but could not find him. And I hear the word of the Lord say, keep believing. He'll give you an answer in time. It's contrary to his glory to refuse to give you an answer. Has he not said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out? It is contrary to his word to refuse a seeker. Come unto me, Jesus said, and I believe that he will bless you. When faith has Jesus' word, it has all things. And I, please don't misunderstand this. I love to hear from every one of you, and when there are words of encouragement that you speak, I just love every one of them. You share a thought or you share an idea or God spoke a scripture to you and you email it or text it to me. I love every one of those. I cherish every one of them. But you see, sometimes faith can't lay hold to those. But when Jesus speaks to you... He woke me up Sunday night, and it was really Monday morning, and he spoke to me, and he said, I want you to pray this. And I said, I will do it. I prayed it, and the Lord answered. And then on Wednesday, he woke me up again and said, okay, you prayed that now. I want you to pray this. And so I prayed that. And then he woke me up last night and said, okay, you're done with those, and you're going to pray this. And so I prayed this, and then I step out here, and I feel what I'm feeling in this house right now. If the point is, and please don't misunderstand me, I love everything that you would ever speak to me, but when I've got a word from the Lord, yeah.
I said, when I've got a sure word of prophecy, and God, when I'm down and depressed, just one word from Jesus. I don't need a book. I just need one sentence that comes from the mouth of the Creator. And all I need Him to do is to step out here and say, let there be light. And there's not enough darkness in this planet. I said, those words are like balm from Gilead. There's no wound that it cannot heal. There's no bitterness that it cannot sweeten. There is nothing that my God cannot do. He spoke to that Canaanitish woman like he was a king. And he just stepped into his royal role without asking anybody and without any coronation. He just steps in and speaks with authority and says, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Whoa! Let there be light. And so I just feel the word of God. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. Now, if he can create light, he can create joy. And I really mean this. I don't mean this tritely in any way, but I'm preaching to a sad congregation. Not because you're sad in the sense that you're not good people. You're wonderful people. But there's a sadness in your spirit. There's a disappointment, and I understand your disappointment. I'm not rebuking you at all about it. I'm just pointing it out to you so you'll understand that I know where you're at. There's a disappointment in your spirit where God has not answered prayers that you have prayed. And that sadness, you can't help but be sad when you ask God for something and either he's delaying it or hasn't done it yet or whatever the deal is, it still hadn't happened. And you can't help, you're not jumping up and down saying, man, praise God, he has not answered my prayer today. Hallelujah. Nobody's doing that. You've prayed prayers God hasn't answered yet. And I feel your sadness. But if he created light, hear me right now in the Holy Ghost. If he created light, he can create joy. If he called light out of darkness and out of nothing, he can speak into your sad heart today and put a joy in your spirit and put a smile on your face and say, I may not have my answer yet, but I'm not finished yet. I'm still holding on to Jesus. Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm preaching to a troubled congregation. I'm looking at people who are troubled because you feel perhaps that the world has treated you unjustly and has handed you a set of cards, so to speak, that has just been, the deal has just been horrible. You got a horrible hand. Have you ever played rook with your family and you just get a horrible hand and you have to bluff your way to get the kitty? And you know you're going to go down like a smoking gun, you're going to go down. But yet you still bid high because you have faith. There's going to be something in that kitty that's going to help you out. Don't y'all play rook. Don't look at me like y'all so holy. Y'all don't play cards over here. Oh, you bunch of self-righteous. At least own up to what you do. Amen. Some of y'all can't even own up. Oh, we got to do it and we can't talk about it. I just talked about it. Oh, you don't play Uno? Huh? Y'all don't have no kids. Y'all don't have no grandkids. They always wanted to play something. But I'll tell you right now that I don't care how troubled you are. And even if you got the kitty and there's nothing in it, if you know who Jesus is, if he can create light, and he can create joy, then he can also create peace that passes all understanding. And I've come to speak peace into your troubled heart. Don't you give up. Don't you stop praising him. Don't you stop clapping your hands. Don't you stop lifting your voice. I said, God is going to finish the work. Hallelujah. God can do it in a moment. I want God to be like, and his word to be like hammering nails. And I want it to nail down your doubts and fears and nail it to the cross. And I want your simple faith like a child who has the keys to the kingdom. And I want you to have faith in God. They say, Brother Kinsey, I've messed up too much. Well, let me just tell you the story of Thomas Edison's laboratory in December of 1914. The damage that was done to his laboratory, which was destroyed by fire, was $2 million. $2 million. Now, that's a lot of money back in 1914. I don't know how much it would be in today's money, but you could just give me the $2 million, I would be happier. But anyway, the building was only insured for $238,000. I mean, just about all of Edison's life and work went up in flames. And he was just standing there amazed, just as cool as a cucumber. And he told his son, he said, Charles, I want you to go get your mama because she ain't never seen nothing like this. He said, go get your mama. As long as she lives, she's not going to see a fire like this. She's never going to see this. So he went and got his mama, and she's never seen anything like that. And he's just standing there as calm as he could be. And she asked him, said, how can you be so calm? He said, all my mistakes have just been burned up. Woo! I feel a fire burning in the house. Oh, Brother Kinsey, that's to my destruction. All your mistakes just got burned up. The blood. I said the blood. I don't care what anybody else got to say. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all sin. It was 3 weeks after that fire that Thomas Edison delivered the first phonograph. And now you got your little MP3 player. And it's on your phone. Used to, you had to have two separate things. You had to have a phone, and then you had the iPod. How many of you remember that? Y'all don't. Oh, just the kids remember that. The rest of you are too scared to admit you know about it. Okay, I get that. I get that. But now it's on your iPhone. It's on your Samsung. It's on all of that. LG. Anything you got, if it's a smartphone, you've got. From phonograph to this. Everything has advanced. And that fire didn't stop anything, did it? Oh, it would have hurt me. If I only had $238,000 worth of insurance on $2 million worth of destruction, I'd be a little bit hurt. I'd have my feelings hurt at least, but not Thomas. Oh, Tom, Brother Tom, was just as calm. Calm Tom. He said, all my mistakes just got burned up. And that's just what's about to happen to you. Shall we stand all across the building? I want you to meet me up here at the front if you need a healing in your body, if you need Jesus to minister to you. All of my intercessors, if you would come and stand with me. Find your places up here real quickly if you would. I know you've been holding on. I know some of you feel like maybe God didn't do what you thought he was supposed to do. I understand all that. I've been there. I've walked that path with you. Maybe not specifically knowing every detail of your story, but I have walked that lonely path. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what God was going to do. Sometimes I didn't get the answer I wanted. But I made up in my mind that I was going to have a faith that just won't quit. And when all my mistakes go up in flames, Jesus purges my soul by the power of the blood. and through the fire of the Holy Ghost, I'm become a new man to walk in the newness of life. I have found, church, that walking in that newness is the best thing that can ever happen to you. When I got a new voice and a new understanding and a new love for Christ and a new peace and a new joy, that doesn't come from whether one accepts you or somebody else rejects you or one person likes you and then somebody else criticizes you. Well, that won't even be on the radar when you're walking in the newness. And that's exactly what's about to happen for some of you today. You're going to walk in the newness of the life of Christ. And you're going to find that it's a new life. It's a new hope. It's a new peace. So I want you to step out from where you're standing, if you would, and I want you to walk to the front. Do you need the Lord? Do you need the Holy Ghost? Do you need Jesus in your heart? Do you need a touch of the miraculous? I want y'all to just come and get up here as close to me as you can. Those of you that came here first, because God has seen your cry and He has heard the cries of your heart, and He's going to receive you today. He's going to burn up your mistakes. Oh, yes. Right now, God's going to touch you right now. Cindy, God's going to minister to you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.